Hello, I'm Daryl Root. Welcome to News Folder 19, the podcast for the politically independent and or moderate. This is episode number 141. This week's topics include Biden's budget, are you house poor, a worthless Congress, and more. So let's get right into it. News story 141.1. President Joe Biden is issuing a budget plan aimed at getting voters' attention. Tax breaks for families, lower health care costs, smaller deficits, and higher taxes on the wealthy and corporations. All of which can be defined as the freebie jeebies. Unlikely to pass the House and Senate, the proposal is an election year blueprint to buy your votes. Because, like all members of government, they know the whiners and criers will sell their soul and probably their mother to the devil for a dollar. If the Biden budget became a law, parents could get an increased child tax credit, because raising one's own kids today apparently brings on voodoo curses and only robbing the taxpayer can prevent them. Home buyers could get a tax credit worth $9,600, which means sellers and brokers will only jack up the price by $9,600 and buyers will never see a penny of that credit. And corporate taxes would jump upward, which, of course, will be passed on to consumers, keeping inflation higher than it would otherwise. Joe, I don't have a damn clue how the economy works. Biden is a moron. Besides, according to the U.S. Constitution, presenting a budget is not the president's job. It is the job of the House. It's the job of Congress. Biden also wants Medicare to have the ability to negotiate prices on 500 prescription drugs, which he claims would save $200 billion over 10 years. So do it. What law keeps you from doing so now? If there is one, it's just more proof that our Congress is brainless, which I explain in another story. The president is calling on Congress to pass his $2,000 cap on drug costs and $35 insulin cap to everyone, not just people who have Medicare. You should know, Mr. President, since you've been in D.C., the den of corruption, for 50 years, medical care only got more and more expensive since government got involved in it. If you want to really lower prices, get the government out of healthcare. When you hand out assistance, the industry just raises prices to collect that assistance. Biden stated, quote, "A fair tax code is how we invest in things that make this country great. Healthcare, education, defense, and so much more," unquote. No, that's how we became more socialist than we've been in the past. There used to be a huge economic gap between the U.S. and the next richest country. That's not so true anymore. And that's strictly due to us becoming more socialistic every decade and every president. News story number 141.2. How many of you have heard the term house poor? Do you know what it means? For those of you who don't, allow me to explain. House poor is when consumers find it necessary to spend more than 30% of their gross income, that's pay before taxes, on household expenses. Those expenses include mortgage, basic utilities, maintenance, and home insurance. Oftentimes, households spending more than 30% are likely to struggle financially. A recent CreditNews.com report ranks states from the most to least house poor. Note that the study included only homeowners, not renters. The study revealed that 31% of overall homeowners are considered house poor. If one has a mortgage, that number rises to 37%, while those without a mortgage still come in at 21%. With that in mind, which states are the most house poor and which are the least house poor? Here are the numbers. The highest percentage of house poor states are California at 43%, Hawaii at 42%, followed by New York, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Florida, Vermont, Connecticut, Oregon, and Rhode Island. The top 10 least house poor states, meaning they can afford their homes the best: West Virginia, North Dakota, Indiana, Iowa, South Dakota, Ohio, Arkansas, Nebraska, Missouri, and Kansas. Please note that with the exception of Florida, the top 10 most house poor states typically vote Democrat, while the bottom 10 house poor states are all traditionally Republican voting states. Could it be worse? Yes. All of the top 10 housing poor states have average household incomes higher than the national average, and all bottom 10 housing poor states, meaning they can afford their homes the best, have household incomes lower than the national average. Two things can be gathered from this. Number one, if you want to be house poor and have a hard time affording the fun things in life, move to a Democrat state. Number two, once you have that high school degree or that college degree, don't think that moving to a state that pays you twice as much as another state will mean a better lifestyle and status. This household affordability study proves otherwise. A lower salary, contrary to financial preaching, more often than not, can actually be a step up if you move to the correct state. News story number 141.3. In what may be the greatest news I've read in the last, 35 years, Congress is passing fewer laws. A recent chart shows that the number of laws passed by each Congress since 1988 has been shrinking from a high of 713 in 1988 to a low of 329 in 2016. Even better, just 27 bills were passed last year, a record low. This, my listeners, is like a utopian dream come true. The less our Congress does, the less they screw up the nation. Experts point to several reasons for fewer bills. One key factor is an increase in polarization. Democrats and Republicans are further apart ideologically than they have been in 50 years, which led to a decrease in bipartisanship. This is absolutely fantastic. The only thing better than Congress doing nothing is Congress eliminating idiot laws. Save the nation and keep up the no work attitude. The only negative to Congress doing nothing, however, is this. Now they try to pass legislation by sneaking them into bills that are too long for our mentally deficient legislators to read, better known as the poison pill strategy. One example, Republicans trying to ban mail delivery of abortion pills by putting it in an agricultural bill. The only time anything supposedly worthwhile gets done is when one party controls all levers of government, the House, the Senate, and the White House. But even when that exists, as of late, less bills are being passed. Again, great. The best Congress is one that is worthless. Another factor in Congress's decreasing productivity is that members are spending less time talking to each other. Good. Less talking means less scheming. Our forefathers didn't want the government to run our lives. They expected people to be self-sufficient, free from oppression, and free from excess taxes and regulation. Every time Congress meets, in degrees, the more those negatives are imposed on us. Even better, there is a wave of lawmakers retiring from Congress after the present term. 45 as of now. Their excuse? There is no cooperation. Again, good. While 45 is not the highest number on record, it supposedly is drawing attention. Let me tell you something. As for people complaining about high-end congressional salaries, for me, I'd rather pay them $250,000 to do nothing than $100,000 to make a bunch of new laws and screw things up, which is about all they do anyway when they do agree.
Only 15% of podcasters will ever earn a single penny in profit. Yet more continue to record for one reason. They enjoy informing and entertaining. If you'd like to support this show, visit newsfolder19.com and click on the Buy Me a Coffee or merchandise links. All donations are greatly appreciated. Now, back to the show.
Welcome to News Folder 19. Just a quick shout out to Danheim, who provides all the background music for the show, and also to Susan Kennedy, who does all the voiceovers for the show. With that, let's get into news story number 141.4. Nearly half of U.S. parents provide some kind of financial support to their adult children, who supposedly are grappling with higher food and living costs than they, the parents, did. The study found that young, working-class Americans were not substantially benefiting from the Biden low-scale recovery, as he would like us to believe they are. Parents surveyed in the study, on average, said their adult children should become financially independent by the age of 25. Though many were supporting those children beyond that milestone, sometimes way beyond that milestone. 21% were helping their adult children whose ages were between 28 through 59. Yes, 59. To the tune of around $950 per month. Generation Z adults, those under 27, were getting even more help, up to $1,500 monthly. Before I get further into the story, let me state this. Nowhere in the article does it mention that these adult children had children of their own, i.e., grandchildren to support. The most common expenses parents covered for these adult children across the generations were groceries, food, cell phone bills, rent, mortgages, tuition, and health insurance. Allow me to state this. If one is a non-disabled adult with no children of their own, over 25 years of age, and still consistently relying on their parents, they need to do one of two things. One, grow up and become a real adult, or two, go to a tattoo parlor and get a giant L stamped onto their forehead. Mooching off one's parents while risking their parents' economic stability come their retirement years makes one an irresponsible, spoiled brat child who needs to be thrown into the cauldron of responsibility. A new Harris poll of U.S. renters from all age groups reported 61% said they were worried they would never be able to own a home, with some saying the areas in which they live had become so unaffordable they were barely livable. I'm sorry, but don't be blaming the cost of housing. I just reported earlier that there are states that are much more affordable than the one a person may be living in. Move if you need to. Hard decisions are part of being an adult. The average amount a parent gives to their adult child each month is more than twice what the average working parent contributed to their own retirement savings. To make matters worse, 61% of parents don't charge or receive rent or help with household expenses from their adult child. If you're one of these parents, stop it. Your child is not a dog or a cat, but thanks to you who enable them, they just might be a slithering snake. Finally, news story number 141.5. U.S. retail sales rebounded less than expected in February, suggesting a slowdown in consumer spending. Retail sales rose just 0.6% last month. Year-to-year, sales increased just 1.5% compared to the 3.2% inflation rate over the same period, suggesting an actual drop in sales. In addition, data for January was revised lower, tumbling 1.1% instead of the previously reported 0.8%. December sales were also downgraded. As for specifics, motor vehicles and parts dealers were up 1.6%. Gasoline sales were up 0.9% due to higher prices. Receipts at electronics and appliance outlets surged 1.5%. Building material and garden equipment sales rebounded 2.2%, all of which were less than the year-to-year inflation rate. Online sales dipped 0.1%, as did sales at clothing, furniture, health, and personal care stores. Sales at sporting goods, hobby, musical instrument, and bookstores were unchanged. Sales at food services and drinking establishments rebounded 0.4% after dropping 1% in January. Economists view dining out as a key indicator of household finances. Households are seemingly focusing on essentials and cutting back on discretionary spending. Some other expenditures listed in a report showed a 3.8% increase in the cost of hotel and motel rooms. Although no figure was given, there were also increases in the cost of outpatient care and airline tickets. Even portfolio management fees gained 0.2% after accelerating by 6% in January. What all these numbers amount to is this. The economy is not growing as much as Biden would like us to believe. While it obviously grew at high numbers following the shutdown of the economy during the pandemic, which he loves to mention every chance he gets, now that we are back in a real-world situation, growth is miserable. It's the same type of slow growth we saw under Obama when President I Don't Understand the Economy Biden was the VP. While I wish both Biden and Trump would pass into the annals of time and do so now, 4 more years of Biden will not be good for the country's prosperity. America deserves better, and this year's choices aren't going to give it to us. It's time to vote third party. Be brave just once in your life. Thank you for listening. You know the mantra, question authority, and always be free.
Thank you for listening to News Folder 19. All rights are reserved and unauthorized use is prohibited. However, you may share the podcast links. Till next time, have a great day.